Every time I come here, and we go through all the things we go to before the speaker, I feel like, okay, we can go home now. Because God has moved very, very powerfully. And I thank God for that. And then I also ask, what do I have to give? Well, one thing I can do is connect a lot of dots. And that's what I want to do this morning. For you and for those you're reaching out to. Because I feel like when I come here, it's a message, it's a training and equipping, it's whatever I can do to further the kingdom of God and as you go out into fields and minister, because I know this is a group that doesn't stay within the four walls of this building, and I am thankful for that, very thankful. Back on the table is a notebook. I'm asking you to pray. Many people have asked me, well, are you going to write another book? Well, when God's delivered a book to me, I don't have the heart to write anymore because I know that is so much with Him. And the reason I know that is because I open it up and read it, I'm convicted. And it changes my life, so I know it's God. But I do, God is speaking to me about a notebook of workshops. Because I have found that what happens is if there's something for you to do before you leave to begin putting into place what I've talked about, it goes on and it grows. If you just heard a good message and you go home, the cares of the world really press in. But if you started something, even after the cares of the world press in, you can pick it up and go with it. So that's why that's on my heart to do. It's a homemade deal. I make them as people want them. So there's one to look at back there, that's all. There's no pressure whatsoever. Some people do good with that kind of training and growth. Some people, it's not for me, and that's okay. That's fine. Rhonda picked this topic this morning out of some that I talked to her about. Overcoming stress and associated spiritual attacks. Overcoming stress and associated spiritual attacks. And as I thought about this, God has brought through me teachings on relationships, managing anger, healing the wounded spirit, overcoming undesirable habits, deception in the last days, a whole series of messages, which, when you connect the dots, are useful in what we're going to talk about this morning. Not only for you, but for others. And so, I'm going to... You're going to have a handout in a minute, and I'll tell it when to be passed out. But I want you to give me your attention until we get to there, and then we'll go through and do something together. But right now, we are in an age, and I'm thankful for the faith that's here. I'm thankful for the excitement that's here. I'm thankful for all of that. And if we're truly honest, God is making diamonds out of dust. In the Psalm 103, it talks about dust. We are just dust. And God allows us to go through the trials victoriously. Sometimes we see the victory. Sometimes we're not sure it's there, but then we see it later. But He allows us to go through those things so that we become those diamonds, so that we shine, so that we bring the light of Jesus Christ into the world around us. That's His heart, and that's what He wants to do. So I actually believe that... the way we're living in our country right now, overall, we're going to have more stress than we've ever had. And some of it is against us as Christians, and some of it is having to go through the stress, you know, that the enemy has created, not only against us, but against our country. And so it's important that we stay victorious in this area. Amen. Very important that we stay victorious and that we share with others how to become victorious. And that's a big part. I was so glad. I sat back there and I said, is this going to go out? Are you going to put this on me? Is this going to because I want, there are lots of people that are not here this morning that I want to hear this because I know that it's needed in the body of Christ. For years in our country, we are under the umbrella of protection. Really. We've talked earlier about when most of our founders wanted freedom to worship him, God brought the freedom and brought the generation of our country and took care of them all the way through, including Squanto, an Indian who had learned to speak English and came back to work with them. I mean, these things, when you think about it, are amazing. But what has happened now? So we, for years, we were under God's umbrella. We were experiencing favor. We were experiencing blessings. I'm talking as a nation. And people would come here to study our form of government, which our leaders got before God. When they couldn't guard up the right documents, God intervened and helped them write the documents. They went to church. The pastor didn't preach about it, but he preached about the Holy Spirit. They came home, and they wrote. So that's the privilege that we've had of living in a country like this. And many people came here to study, to see what is so great about this country. Well, for several generations, many people have walked away from God. It's sad to say, but it's true. They've walked away, serving self, walking in the flesh instead of walking with God. And the saddest thing is many do not even realize that you're actually serving the devil. They have no concept of that. If you would ask any of them that, they would be totally shocked. How dare you ask me that? But we know from the Bible it's true. We know it's biblical that that's exactly what happens. Maybe in little ways. Maybe not in big murders or anything like that, but in little ways. So, many people in America are losing hope. That's what's all around us. Hope changes everything. Hope changes everything. Hope changes everything. The pastor we're at right now gave us these bracelets and said, this is your tool to work witness. Not a single person has asked, why are you wearing this bracelet? Not a one in months. But Dave has looked at it often. Dave needed exactly what's around my wrist right now, that hope. Because I focused then where my focus should be, on the Lord, and on his kingdom, and what he wants done, and the wonderful, glorious future we have with him for all eternity. Well, people that don't know him have put their hope in wealth, fame, self-pleasure, climbing the corporate ladder, you name it. And they find out it's fragile. They find out it can be taken away like that. Mm-hmm. And so they don't have the hope that we have, but they need it. They need it. And that's one of the best ways and effective ways of ministering to people today is I'd like to tell you about the hope that's within me. You hear? I'd like to tell you about the hope it's in me. Now, I want to tell you, this is different than what I prepared. But I know God is bringing that this morning. I want to tell you about the hope that's in me because I'm an evangelist at heart along with pastoring. So my other passion is I want to see Christians grow. I want to see the body of Christ grow, stand, and be effective in these last days. That's where my heart is. That's why I retired and I'm refired. And going around speaking and doing anything I can to strengthen and encourage the body of Christ. Sometimes there's three people around a table. And we're seeing children, I'm talking adult children in their 30s. We're seeing husband and wives. We're seeing people receive Christ, relatives of a Christian. They'll invite them in their home and they'll invite me over. And God leads. And So anyhow, size doesn't make a difference, but what does make a difference is we're growing. We're growing and we're serving. That's what's very, very important. Now, one of the things we know very well, you've heard me, the resultant greed, worship of money, preoccupations with self-pleasure, use of violence, uncontrolled anger, lifestyles of sin lead to disasters. They lead to a mess. They lead to tremendous stresses in families and broken relationships and hurting people. We, as believers, need to cling to this word. Above all else, guard your heart. You're not surprised to hear that, because back on the table, but above all else, guard your heart. When I ask God, I want to make a difference, this is what he gave. And he gave it for the body of Christ. Because it's so easy to get distracted. You can even get distracted serving. I almost lost relationship with my children because I was busy serving, busy helping other people. And right in front of me was two wonderful people that needed to grow in the Lord and needed a father to be there with them. And at the right time, maybe not the right time, but at the time I would have lost them, my wife spoke to me, David, you're losing your kids. And I wept and wept and wept. And then God made a wonderful way to get back in their lives. And now there's three generations of us going out into the woods, enjoying ourselves. Yes. So, praise God. We're going to do a little exercise here that I would like to do this morning, that I would like you also to do this with other people as you get a chance, especially those that are just coming into the Lord, you know, starting to grow. You want to see them mature. You see, the fleshly person, the person we were before Christ, the person that we are moments every once in a while now, need to be honest with God. We need to be very honest with God and wholeheartedly serve him to the extent and worship him to the extent about God. You have free reign to search my heart and show me what's in there. To search my heart and show me what's in there. Because if there's anything in there that's not of you, I want to die to it. I want it to change. I want to be yours and totally yours. I want to please you every day. So, you can pass out the handouts now. You don't have a pen or pencil? They'll get it for you. You going to give me a chance to spill it up here? Oh, yeah, praise God. Amen. There's only one page, so.
I was going to say it's one page, right?
Yeah, there's just one page. Don't worry if you. Just one page. Yeah. Those of you at home, I hope you're getting paper, pencil, getting ready. Because you don't have the handout, but you'll hear the handout as we go through.
I got one pen left. Over here, we
got a finger. Good, good. Okay. In overcoming stress through Jesus Christ, the first step is to identify the stresses in your life. So turn the paper over and write any stresses that you have, whether you're being victorious or not, any stresses that you see experiencing in life, write them down. Because this is not only for you, this is to help other people. Anything that you feel stressed from. Maybe not today, but you have in the last few weeks or month. Because sometimes we come to church and we're floating. But then you need to also remember and be honest about things that do stress us. Things that we need to have continuous victory over, not just a one-shot deal, not even once a week, but we have continuous victory over. On the back of the paper, make them there. Because we're going to go through the front together. Okay, you've got the idea. You've got some down. I would like you to take one and write it at the top of the other handout. Okay? Right at the top of the handout. And it says, get my hand out, I'll be all set here. Other side of the handout. Give me a handout. I'm here somehow, I don't have one. It says, description of the stress. Write it down the best you can. You may be having victory over it, or maybe something you came to have victory over, you want to continue to having victory over it. You know, it doesn't mean that you're, you know, I'm not taking your joy away this morning. I'm trying to help you continue to grow. So just write one down there that you want continuous victory in, whether you have it now or not. That's what you want. You want to continue in that because you know it's around you. You know as you walk through life, it's there. And then the next thing is source of my strength, stress. Where is it coming from? Where? How is it occurring? What, you know, is it certain people are around? Is it circumstance? Is it whatever? But there's a source that stress comes from. Maybe it's going to work. Maybe it's trying to fit everything into a day. We still have 24-hour days. I've noticed that. No matter what we pile up and do, we still have 24-hour days. Yep. But there could be a lot of sources from it, okay? Could be the loss of a loved one that we're going through. Could be the loss of a friendship. Could be a lot of things. But we're going through them, and there's stress from them. Sometimes you feel some failure as a parent. Or you feel frustrated that your child has wandered away. There's all different things that cause stress in us. And we take them to the Lord in prayer. That we do. You know, we're not saying we don't do that. But I think it's important to be honest before God and just admit those things. Because that humbling process is what allows us to receive from the Lord. If we the moment we think we got something in control by ourselves, we're in trouble. We are in trouble because God will let us know we don't have it in control by ourselves because he wants us to grow. He wants us to be receiving from him on a daily basis. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about the next before you write. Description of my component. We're going to talk about ways that you may have caused the stress. You may have contributed to the stress. In fact, you may have multiplied the stress. As many times you find that out. Man, this wasn't nothing like this in the beginning. I've magnified this thing. I've blown it out of the water. It's ridiculous when we come to our minds in Christ. But we still do that sometimes. See? And I have found, being honest before God, there's always something that I've added to or caused in the stress that I have in my life. Now, God promises to lead us through and take care and make us victory in life. So he will take care of the stresses in our life. We're responsible to take care of our component, right? We're responsible to ask him to help us. We can't do it ourselves. We don't do anything ourselves. But if Dave is making too many things for a 24-hour period and admits that, God will show him what to keep doing and what to stop. There is a word in our vocabulary that's no. We, as Christians, we feel, oh, we can't hardly do that. Yes, we can. God expects us to say no. Not only to sin, he expects us to say no to some of the fun stuff, some of the good stuff, some of the things where we really believe that we're doing his work. And he'll put his finger on those things. He'll show us those things. See? So, for example, financial. Now, I want you to know, I'm using myself as an example because I've done everything I'm talking about today. Okay, so you can't be any further away and done anything that I haven't done. That's what happens when you live a long time. You look back over your life and you say, how could I be so foolish? So there's financial, overspending, not having a budget, wants rather than needs. Okay? I'm not planned for the future. It's where I am right now. I did all this stuff, all this thing, all of it. I had no retirement. They didn't offer any retirement. I didn't have any retirement. I had a small church, so here I am. So I can't blame God. God, why didn't you take care of me? You promised to take care of me. So what do you want me to do now, Lord? That's what I ask. And he's providing. He's providing, you see. But the point is, I had a responsibility and I never even thought about it. So, okay, broken relationships. Speaking carelessly. Oh, how I'd like to grab some of those things back that I said. Oh, man. They're said. Speaking not in love. My kids used to call it preaching. Okay, here comes sermon 432. And I changed and I spoke in love. And they didn't call them sermons anymore. But you see, we preach. We preach. And there's a time for preaching. And there's a time for speaking in love and encouraging. And in fact, that's most of the time. Okay, that's most of the time to speak in love and encouraging. And in fact, if there's any gift that God has given me, it's encouraging and strengthening. And that's the focus of what I'm doing today, this life that I'm living in right now, this season of my life. loss of a loved one, I've gone through that. And you know, you can go through that with a martyr complex, which increases the stress all over the place. You can blame God, that's the first thing that people usually do. Then you blame yourself, that's the second thing you usually do. This is the order of going through the loss of someone very special, someone you love. I should have been there, I should have done this, why didn't I do that, blah, blah, blah. And God has freed us from that. We don't have to live under that. That's part of what he's freed us from. With me, to keep me in a ministry, he had to confront me one morning, I had to say, oh, God, I prayed for everybody else. I took care of everybody else, and my wife died beside me. And he says, I didn't want you to heal her. I didn't want you to. I took her home. I took her home in my timing, in my way, for my glory. And that just broke the thing, the bond that I was under. It just broke it. And I know that she had a disease that they would say they'd start taking parts of her body. You know, they had a disease where she had picked it up probably from the hospital someplace, you know, and man, if she got a car that big We'd have to go through every expensive drug, everything we could, get that healed up, do whatever we possibly could so she wouldn't lose that finger. And I knew exactly what God meant when he said that. See? But we create these things. In our beings and things, we create those things that are actually form bondages. We sang this morning about, you know, breaking down every stronghold. I used to think that was strongholds in other people. I'm going to go out there and smash them with the word of God. The strongholds in me. A lot of the strongholds are right in us. And those are what he's talking about, as well as other people. He's like, break down the strongholds so I can help you. So I can help you grow. Okay. Loss of a career or purpose. That's one that a person can feel like they've failed it. They can play the blame game. I hope none of you play the blame game, but you can do that. If the company had planned better, they wouldn't have to lay us all off. They wouldn't have to end our careers. Right? Lots of ways we blame things. The other is blaming ourselves. I didn't do a good enough job. I wasn't doing this. I wasn't that. I wasn't something else, you know. Well, we're freed from that too. Because God's love for us does not depend on how well we performed. We sang about that this morning. We believe that. We need to be reminding ourselves of that, reminding of others of that. That is so much in the hope of what we have. When you say, hope makes a difference. It's made a difference in my life. It'll make a difference in your life. And here's one of the reasons. You see, I'm out of the performance game. I'm just serving. I want to do my absolute best for God. Don't get me wrong at all. That's not an excuse. As Paul said in Romans, that's not an excuse for doing stuff halfway, which, and not believing in all this other stuff. See, we look at that's not an excuse for, lying or cheating or doing this or that. No, it's an excuse also for these other things that God hates. In Proverbs, there's a section, I'm not sure what chapter it is. It's right in the very beginning about there are, I think he says 7 or 8 things he hates, and then there's one more. Thank you. Yeah, because that is there. That is there. Okay, so what God wants you to do and wants all of us to do is recognize the changing seasons in our life. Recognize the changing seasons in our life, because we don't go through life with just one season. There's changes. And when there's changes, God brings about a change in us to grow and be in that. He's used everything up to that time. It's amazing. It's amazing what the things he uses. I was in the military division working for the government. Work for an hour, write it up for 7 hours. Oh, man, terrible. What do I do? As a pastor, I have a food pantry. Who inspects it? The government. Got A pluses. Mine was used all over the valley to get people to fall in line. He uses everything. Every thing we're subjected to. See? It all goes. It fits. But recognizing the season that you're in is so important. Because with God, timing is everything. Timing is important in what we say and what we do. Jesus always waited for the timing and did what the Father told him to do. He spoke what the Father told him to speak. He did what the Father told him to do, and he did it when the Father told him to do. So timing is important. So the same way when you enter a season of change, timing is important. God's got something new for you to do in this season. Okay, it will build on everything that's happened to you, but he has new things for you to do in your season. And that way, you continue to have the hope. You continue to have the vibrant life with him. If you look at what you did in the past and you're hung up there and wondering why isn't God doing that, then you're losing that hope. It's slowly degrading it away. So move with God as he leads you on. Move with him. Be with him. Let's see, what else is worth talking about here? Well, I'm going to cover this part because you are experts in this. But you tell others that are just starting to grow. By the way, experts is an unknown quantity in a drip under pressure. So I use that term lightly. But, you know, you do this a lot. You utilize faith declarations. Okay? You utilize faith declarations. So what you would do next is think about your component. And you would write down some verses and turn them into faith declarations that deal with your situation. If you're finding you're worrying, you write down some verses that God says not to worry, don't be anxious, and all the reasons he says that. And then you declare those and use them over and over again, multiple times during the day, whenever you need to. You turn them into those faith declarations, okay? If it's something else, there's the Word of God about that. Because he's always bringing us in line with the Word of God. Always. And so it's important that that we form those faith declarations and use them and teach others to be able to do that. Because it's a very liberating thing. You know yourself how it breaks that. When I'm all of a sudden there's a thing on me, you know, all of a sudden, clamor, confusion. What are you going to do? Blah, 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 blah. As soon as I say a faith declaration or two, or think about God and think about the future, that's it. It has no hold on me anymore. It's broken. It's broken, see? So he will help us remove our component from the stress. He will help us do that and work that in us so it goes. And then our responsibility is to keep it going, which is a challenge sometimes, but that's our responsibility, right? And he's merciful. If we didn't, he'll bring us back. I love the part about he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is my favorite verse. Because I have new beginnings more often than I should. But I have them. I have them, and I'm excited about them. I'm excited about that cleansing that he does in us. Then there's God's instructions concerning the remainder of stress. Okay? Because we do live in a world that is stressful. I can remember, this was years ago already, it's worse now. I can remember driving in a carpool and there were four of us in a car, and three of us were talking about how beautiful the weather was, and the fourth one was saying it's raining someplace. Yeah. There's a tornado over here, there's something over there. Yeah. So you see, so we can bring light into that conversation, life, see. And that's what he caused us to do. We're bringing heaven down here as we walk. That is his purpose. That is his desire for us. So my continuing thing is continue with the Lord and fear not. Continue with the Lord and fear not. He's not anxious. He's not worrying. He doesn't want us to be anxious and worrying. Okay. So, with that, I'm going to give a closing prayer. And then I'm here to pray when anybody wants to be prayed. Fellowship, love, hug, whatever. This is family. This is extended family, and that's why Ursina misses us. But she'll be with you again. I'm confident of that. So, Father, we thank you for having us pause this morning and think about these things. And help us, Lord, to really open ourselves up to you in dialogue and write down the things you tell us, whether it's journaling, whether it's filling out a form like this, whatever it is, Lord God, help us to continually communicate with you and allow you to speak into our lives and allow you to touch the things that are deep inside. We would never admit, but they're there. And allow you to touch them and bring them to the surface so that you can cleanse us, so you can keep us that pure light, that wholeness that you want. And so we can have such a wonderful, intimate relationship with you, Lord God. We wouldn't trade that for anything. And we want more and more and more of that relationship. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Pastor Dave, before you leave, I want to ask a question. Does anyone have any questions regarding this concept of, distress, the topic today?
You had used the word seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, as I go through and I see seasons, maybe the passing of a loved one,
mm-hmm.
Some things that are unavoidable,
mm-hmm.
but some things that may be avoidable mm-hmm. had we saw them coming. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm speaking more about the things that I have to go through, seasons pertaining to people. Does maybe the passing of a person, is the Lord, don't know if I'm making my question clear, but how do we prepare for seasons that are going to happen that we don't want to happen? How do we not?
You prepare for them the same way you prepare for any season. You stay close to the Lord. You stay focused on Him. Because there's going to be, Jesus said there's trouble down here. There's trials down here. They're going to be there. And so if we're keeping our focus on Him, whether it's something we like or dislike, whether it's something that's comfortable or uncomfortable, whether it's said that makes something that makes us grieve or something that brings joy to us, He will take us through that. So sometimes we can see ahead and we can do some things. But if we can't, we know He's with us. And some things we can't do for other people. You can't do for your kids the lessons that they need to learn. We can talk to them about it. We can train them. We can do that. But they're still going to go through those lessons in one form or another. They're still going to do things like that, see? And it grieves us. And you'll find out when you finally become a grandparent, you're really reduced to prayer. But you can have intimate relationships with the kids. Okay, did that answer your question at all?
It does. So I'm asking you this
okay.
as respect, as having gone through things.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been times of tears in your life for the things that you couldn't change? I'm sure there has been.
Yes.
And does that merely come with the closer you are to God when you go through those times, the easier it's going to get?
Well, if you looked at Paul's life, he basically said the closer he came to God, the more he felt unworthy. And I think that's why. You realize some of the things you missed, some of the things you could have done better, some of the things you should have done, some of the things you shouldn't have done. You see that. Also, you see definite seasons. I'm not just talking about an event. I'm talking about, for example, I was in school. I was a student. I was in college. I was working on the workforce. I was in ministry. I was in pastoral ministry. Now I'm in, Body of Christ ministry. See, all these things are seasons that what you do changes, but you're always being prepared for it. That's the neat thing. If you look back, like I look back and I can see so many things besides just the example I gave you where God was preparing me. I poured hot chocolate down a woman's dress when we were serving them in church as a youth group. And she looked me right in the face and she says, "You're going to make a great pastor someday." She prophesied over my life. So you don't know how things are going to come and how they're going to fit together. But one day I knew I was to go into pastorate. I knew that was a word of prophecy. So anyhow, it's the best I can give you is that, being with the Lord. And yes, you do feel that. And I pray for them. I pray for things that I allowed to get to me. Like one person said, went away mad, your sermons are like moldy bread. Took me 2 years to get that out of me. I kid you not. Because Satan kept bringing that up. But then I'm free. So, it's the way it is. Life hits us where we're at. There's the trials. There's the things that happen. God knows how to bring through each one of them. He brought me through the death of my wife, where I felt absolutely helpless, and I was, through other things that have happened in life, very differently than that, At the same time, he's used everything that's happened in my life to help others. For example, there was a man in the church that had died, and he overcame, I can't think, but it was an incurable physical thing you have, and he overcame it. Yes, Lou Gehrig's disease. He overcame that. And then he died of pneumonia. And his wife was like, oh, yeah, how can this be? All of us were. And what he said for my wife, I knew was for, what God said to me for my wife, I knew was for his wife, that God took him home at that time. And it brought such peace in her as it did in me. See, we don't receive anything just for ourselves. It's always to share and give out.